Well, thank you very much indeed, Mr. Bowles, and good morning to you all. I trust that you all had a really pleasant evening last night, a night to be much observed. We certainly did here in West Wales, and I hope that everybody did around the world. We were a little bit perturbed about a week ago, and we thought perhaps things wouldn't turn out quite as well as they did, because about a week ago, my grandson, Jonathan, fell badly, injuring his arm. His mother, Estelle, thought that he'd broken his arm. He was in obvious pain, and his arm was swelling badly. Estelle was so sure that her son had broken his arm that she phoned family members to ask for prayers on Jonathan's behalf. By the time that mother and son had arrived at hospital a few miles away, medical staff diagnosed the injury as a severe sprain. Now that is one incident. Another one, which I would like to relate, it took place some years ago. And that was when we were attending with Worldwide at Llanelli. And there was a custom in the winter months, after the Sabbath was over, for the youngsters and the families to go over to the Swansea Leisure Centre for a swimming session. Now, my son Andrew went on to these swimming events on a number of occasions. And there's one particular time that sticks out in my memory. And that was when the deacon at the time phoned my wife and I to advise us that Andrew had fallen badly and that he had probably broken his hip. Now, at the time the report of this incident was received, Andrew was at the top of a ladder leading to one of these spiralling water slides that deposit the swimmers several feet below in the water. Now, he said that I was to drive to Morrison Hospital, which is just outside Swansea, as the accident and emergency staff would probably need me to be present, no doubt to sign consent forms or something of that nature. Fortunately, the local elder was also present at this particular family gathering, and he climbed the ladder to where Andrew was trapped and anointed him. Now, when the ambulance arrived, one of the crew went up the ladder to our trapped son, and according to Andrew, the ambulance man was not at all happy working at that particular height. The space available was only large enough for one person, and there was already one person there. Andrew was apparently joking with the ambulance man in order to keep the ambulance man's spirits up. Now, the situation was that Andrew was stuck, and the ambulance man there was obviously feeling nervous working at the height that he was, and the ambulance man was trying to put Andrew into a stretcher so that our son could be taken to hospital. Needless to say, I took off at a great rate of knots to drive the 50 or so miles to Swansea. And apart from the places where there were obvious speed restrictions, I travelled at over 60 miles an hour just about all the way. And certainly when I hit the road from Camarl to Swansea, I've really put my foot hard down, but that was in the days before these speed revenue cameras. Now, I did the journey in just under the hour. By the time I found Andrew in the accident emergency department, I was told he hadn't broken anything, but he'd sustained a severe sprain. Now, that was despite the opinion of two paramedics and an X-ray photograph, which apparently confirmed their view. Now, are these two stories merely coincidental, or is there more to them? Now, I believe that there is, although a sceptic would not agree. So why relate these two events at the beginning of the days of unleavened bread? Well, what I'd like to do is to focus our minds on the fact that our Saviour went through a tremendous beating for us so that our illnesses and injuries could be healed. And only a few days have passed since those who were baptised attended the memorial to our Saviour's suffering. But for all of us, it is important to tie these events together. I'd like you to turn with me, please, to Isaiah chapter 53, where we'll read a verse that we're all familiar with. It is read every year at the Passover service, and it's from the section that prophesied the suffering and death of Christ. And this verse is pertinent to the topic that I'm discussing today. Now, in Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 and 5, we read the following. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Now, some may ask, where the transgressions and iniquities appear in the two incidents I've just related to you. Well, I think I would hazard the opinion that both my grandson and my son transgressed the law of gravity. And possibly their iniquity was that they were being too intent on their enjoyment to take adequate cognizance of their surroundings in order to ensure the safety of A, themselves, and B, others who might be around them. Now, whatever the reason for these accidents, I doubt that safety was at the top of their agenda, or at the top of the agenda of any youngster who is intent on enjoying himself. And the result in both cases was a hurt. Both of them were hurt. Were their bones broken? I can't say. And were they then supernaturally healed? Well, everything is possible. And there is nothing too difficult for God to do in these or any other circumstances. We need to realise that the age of miracles has not somehow mysteriously come to an end. But here in the Western industrialised world, men seem to take a delight in divorcing themselves from God, from nature, and from the land. And their belief is that theirs is the height of intelligent, civilised thought. It is then that we need to remember the prayer of Jeremiah that is found in chapter 32 and verse 17. And please turn with me there to this scripture. And it is one that should give us all a tremendous sense of encouragement. No matter what our circumstances may be, we can all count on the power of God and on his infinite love for each one of us. I'm not saying that we will never suffer broken bones as a result of some unfortunate incident. But what I am saying is that many of us have experienced times when we can be sure that God has intervened on our behalf. And here in Jeremiah chapter 32, and reading in verse 17, we see these words. Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power, and hast stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Faith is involved here. As I said earlier, here in the West, we are becoming more and more divorced from the natural world. Doctors, hospitals, pharmaceuticals, and industrialization have all played their part in our nation's beliefs that all this hath my arm achieved. And that attitude is taking us further and further away from our Creator God and his love and his mercy. Faith in God that men cannot see is dying. It is being replaced by faith in those commodities that our hands have produced. The other side of the coin is where someone has an accident and that he or she, or a parent or child, has the presence of mind to pray about the problem or to call on others to join them in prayer. And God will hear that prayer. I'd like you to turn with me now to James chapter 5, where we'll read verses 13 to 15. We often learn by experience, and when we see the benefits of a particular course of action, that helps us to focus our minds on the right way to solve all sorts of problems. Health problems and injuries that result from accidents are no exceptions. Perhaps the answer to our prayer is no or not yet. We cannot tell. That does not mean that God is not aware of our suffering, or that he does not care. Whatever the outcome is, there is always a valid reason for whatever God's answer is, even if we cannot see that reason ourselves. But here in James chapter 5, beginning in verse 13, we read, "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him." I doubt that there is anyone who can, with his hand on his heart, say that there has never been an occasion when God has intervened in his life. You know, we must all surely feel that at some time in our lives, God has intervened in our lives. There certainly have been times in my life when God has intervened. You know, there are times when I should have died by all natural reason. I should not be here now. I was delivered. There have been times in the lives of my children when I'm sure that God intervened. In closing, I'd like to turn to Matthew chapter 21, where we'll read verses 21 and 22. Whilst turning there, I'd just like to recapitulate what we have seen. We know that Christ suffered that we might be healed. We know that there is nothing too difficult for God. We know that we should pray for one another, seeking God's assistance in our problems, be they health problems or whatever. All we need is the faith to live our lives that way. We must remember that Christ did not condemn the use of physicians. He actually healed a woman who touched his garment. And she had spent all her money on physicians, but her faith, it was in the ability of Christ to heal her. It is where we place our faith that counts. Just as ancient Israel came out of Egypt, so we need to come out of this world. And Matthew chapter 21, beginning in verse 22. Jesus answered and said unto them, Truly I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this which was done to the fig tree, but also, if you shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all these things, whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive.